Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IFGL Refractories Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks from the management. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Agarwal, Head Institutional Equities at SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of IFGL Refractories Limited and SKP Securities to this financial results conference. We have with us Mr. James McIntosh, Managing Director, and Mr. Kamal Sarda, Director and CEO with us. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. James McIntosh, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. McIntosh.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us on this conference call. I hope you and everyone around you is safe and in good health. Along with me on the call, we have Mr. Kamal Sarda, the Director and CEO of IFGL, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We've uploaded the results of the presentation on the stock exchanges, and I hope everyone's had a chance to go through these. Let me share some business highlights. In Q1 for the full year 2023, we witnessed some normalcy in business operations globally as the intensity of COVID reduced. However, the challenges we highlighted in the last quarter to the global supply chains remain. Those are cost increases and freight remain high, particularly from for vessels originated in China. Obviously, this is used in raw materials for supply of our plants worldwide, and receipts of products from our manufacturing plants in China and sold to our customers worldwide. We have cost increases in all the raw materials, plant consumables and components used in the manufacture of the products. We haven't seen any difference in or any reducing on these fronts. We've got a shortage of certain key raw materials, which also cause issues with the supply and demand situation, and have, in some cases, resulted in very high cost increases. Energy costs across the board are still affecting the company and our plants and equipment. Generally, inflation costs, which obviously result in labor cost increases, are affecting us worldwide. Despite all of these challenges, I mean, we posted very robust quarterly revenue growth year-on-year. 30% growth in our consolidated results and 38% growth in our standalone revenue. We've received strong support from our customers worldwide for price increases in the products. Unfortunately, the ongoing conflict between Ukraine and Russia continues to place us under pressure, particularly in the European operations, with regard to the cost of gas. You know, happily, the World Steel Association forecasts still see some growth in steel, although it's reduced quite substantially, given the situation in Ukraine. You know, we feel that, you know, just based on their figures, they're saying that 2022, they've got a slight growth showing, and also 2023, they've got a wee bit of a normal growth coming in, also. Obviously, as refractories are a key product used in the manufacture of steel, you know, and we operate within a growing market, it's very important for us, especially in India, where growth predictions for the steel industry here are outpacing all other areas of the world, that we have a very strong situation here in our company with regard to manufacturing and technology. It's very important for us to stress, as we did in the last conversation, you know, that we've got a very robust and targeted CapEx expenditure for our actually the largest in the company's history.
Sorry to interrupt. This is the operator. We have the line disconnected. Request you all to please be connected while we bring him online. Ladies and gentlemen, request you all to please be connected while we bring the connection online. Mr. James is disconnected. We are trying to call him. We'll bring him online. James, sir, you may please go ahead.
We started construction of a new state-of-the-art research and technology centre, which will be built in our core manufacturing location in Odisha. This will enable the company to improve its own material intellectual property database, expand its products, and improve our technological approach to sustainable material and technology development. We've also now completed and rolled out our new brand identity, and we'll shortly complete the modernisation of our website, which is aimed at improving our interface with customers, prospective employees, suppliers, and all of our stakeholders. And our approach in the ESG will be strengthened. And we've recently signed an agreement with a global consultancy leader in this area, which will focus initially in the Indian operations. And then after that, we'll be rolling it out globally. We are very confident that our continued robust sales growth worldwide, along with our future capital expenditure, will enable us to continually expand our business with a focus to quality and technology supported with our long-established foundations of cost-effectiveness to improve profitability. With this, let me now hand over to Kamal Sarda for his comments.
Thanks, Jim, for the quick overview of the business. Let me give you a small short brief on the business performance. Revenue of quarter one, as Jim said, with this strong growth in India as well as overseas, on the basis of some increased prices, increased volumes, and a good order book from the customers. Profitability was impacted on account of the raw material prices, operating expenses, including logistics, energy charges, and all that, and also the foreign exchange, the rupee depreciation vis-a-vis dollar. Overseas subsidies operating costs also increased more than those of the parent company because of logistics played a greater role, and consequently, there was a margin pressure on these entities as well. Give you a small brief overview of the financials. On the standalone, the total income increased by 38% and closing in the quarter at 226 crore. EBITDA was up by 3% year on year over 28.5 crore. EBITDA margins reduced to 12.6% compared to 17% in the corresponding quarter. PAT was about 12 crores compared to 13.4 crores in the corresponding quarter, FY22. On the consolidated, which includes all our subsidiaries in US and Europe, the total income increased by 30% to 360 crore. The consolidated EBITDA was down by 3% to 34.5 crores. EBITDA margins were 9.6 compared to 12.9 in the corresponding quarter. PAT was about 14.6 compared to 17.9 in the corresponding quarter. We continue to remain debt-free with a strong balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents stood at about 234 crores on the consolidated balance sheet as of June 22. These are brief. I'll now leave the floor for any questions on these branches.
Thank you so much. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. Participants are requested to restrict their question to one participant. One question per participant. We take the first question from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I hope I'm audible. So my first question is that if I look at your gross margin, it used to operate in a particular band of 50 plus, right? And this quarter has been a little disappointment. So if I look at on the next 3 to 5 year perspective, what is the band of gross margin you like to operate and you think that is possible for you to hold on to?
Yeah, so I think we still maintain the margins which we had told in the past. This quarter, suddenly the rupee depreciation, the continuous increase in freight cost, timing difference of price increase, and a global slowdown in the steel industry affected all those things. So maybe this is the primary reason, but we still maintain that, these margins, which we said about 15% generally EBITDA margins over a period, we will be able to maintain.
So the gross margin decline is attributable to what factors? If you just break the gross margin decline, which is usually the material margin would be around 50% plus, right? So if you look at it, what is actually, how do you attribute that? How much is for currency devaluation or currency issues? And
I'm not ready with those breakup as such, but it's primarily a composition of all those factors: raw material cost price increases, logistics cost increase, forex, the rupee depreciation, all put together has. So I don't have the breakup, we normally don't maintain that way.
And by when you think, we will come back to that in the next 2-3 quarters, or it will take even more time?
Let's wait for a couple of quarters. Let's see how things unfold in the Russia-Ukraine situation, and then maybe we'll have more clearer picture. Things are evolving, so we'll wait.
Got it. So just one suggestion, it will be helpful.
Can you pass on this? I think I requested the operator to restrict the question to one, because I have another call after this. Maybe we can have a call separately, Mr. Lashida.
Thank you.
Please. Yeah, thank you.
Friends, this is Naveen Agrawal from SKP. Request you to limit yourself to just one question and rejoin the queue. We'll take them up once the entire queue is done. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Hitesh from AXA Capital Advisors. Please go ahead, sir. Request you to limit your question to one question per participant.
Yes. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, could you help us understand how does the pricing work with the domestic customers? What I'm looking for is, what are your contract terms, the tenure of the contract, and what was the price hike that was taken probably in this quarter or at least in the last 6 months, if you could elaborate on that. Thanks.
The domestic contracts are generally on a 6 months to 1 year contract, but off late it has been like a 3 to 6 months because the user industry wants a shorter term because of price volatility. We've got price increase in the last quarter four. This current quarter, we have got some price increases, but still we are talking to the customers. So that's how these are negotiated now it is a short-term basis. It's like a 6 months, 3 months to 6 months terms.
Sure. Just a follow-up, if you can quantify the price hike and, in the event if the raw material prices, if they cool off, will we benefit from the cooling off of RM in the next 3 to 6 months?
All these price impact or will be discussed when the contract renewal takes place.
Okay, sure, thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sanjay Nandi from Ratnabali Investment Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, on a console note, if we compare with the peers along with our company, we could find that we have a good healthy top line growth on a YOY basis. But if we compare the EBITDA, that margins got dipped a bit like significantly on a YOY basis, whereas its peers have registered like uptick in the margins on a YOY basis. So what is like held responsible for arresting of our margins on a YOY basis? Like what has been the laggard for these things?
If you look at our standalone results, you know, you take both the things together, the impact is there on the standalone results. If you look at the EBITDA margin of standalone has reduced from 17% to about 13%. So that has been transferred to the consolidated results. And on the cost impact, I think I mentioned already the impact on the gross margin. We've already discussed that.
Sir, is it because of our product basket which we are trading, like those are not...
No, I think I told in the previous thing that the cost increases are due to raw material price increase, the rupee depreciation, vis-a-vis dollar rate increase, all these factors.
But sir, if we are net, if we export something, for rupee depreciation will be a support for us, right, sir?
We are majorly exporting in euro. So euro has euro appreciation has also impacted the margin.
Okay, and what about the domestic things, sir? Like the other things, other companies have registered a YOY increase in margins. So I'm just trying to understand, like, what
I'm only talking about my company. This is the impact. I've not done a detailed study about other companies.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. That's from my side. I'll come back in a queue, sir. Wish you all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Corporation. Just go ahead. Mr. Kapoor.
Yeah, namaskar, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. Sir, as been explained by you in the opening commentary, just a follow-up to that, is the raw material pass-on has happened completely, or are we expecting any further... any further reduction in margins, and when are we going to again rejoin that band of 15% on a consolidated level? When can we see the improvement in the other geographies other than India, sir? So if you could outline to us where are we in midst of that?
I think most of that I have already answered in my previous comments. The raw material margins, the margin improvement, we will wait for quarter two and quarter three till we know, we have a clarity on stability of the economic situation worldwide. You have the Ukraine-Russia war impacting everywhere. And so we'll wait for one or two quarters more till we have more clarity. But our target is to remain at a 15% plus EBITDA level.
Right, sir. And on the utilization level, sir, since this is directly also proportional to utilization levels, so in the global geographies, what kind of utilization levels are we expecting going ahead, since because of these vagaries in the market?
As of now, we are at same levels as we were in the past.
Okay. So, see, it is only the pricing thing, the factor that you are unable to comment today.
Yeah,
it is not about the visibility of the deliverables.
No, not really.
Okay, I'll come in the queue as you have explained.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Viraj. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just have one question. You know, the capex which we are incurring between 23 and 24, can you just provide some color in terms of what product categories will this be towards? And will it be is it primarily for the domestic market, or it's a mix of domestic and exports? So I'm asking this in the backdrop because if we look at all players in the industry, both private and listed, you know, everyone is like going big on capacity expansion. So just trying to understand, is there enough demand or other avenues available for this kind of facility to be absorbed? Thank you.
Jim, would you like to take this question or should I?
Sure. I mean, for me, it's the CapEx that we have in the presentation. There's a slide that shows the breakdown of the CapEx according to the manufacturing plants. Obviously, from the point of view of manufacturing, our objective there is to improve our manufacturing capability and also expand our capacity. So, for example, if we were to look at the Vizagapatam project, all of the expenditure that we plan to invest in Vizagapatam are in new product areas for the company. These new product areas will undoubtedly benefit us both in India predominantly and to a lesser extent on the export side. For the Kandla plant, because it's based in the CEZ, our objective for that plant is more or less export. So all of the expansion that we plan there is going to benefit our export business. For Odisha, this is a combination of both the expansion of capacity in our manufacturing, but also 20 crores of the expenditure for the research and technology center. The new research and technology center will benefit the company worldwide in terms of new products and developments of new materials. I hope that answers your question.
Sorry. Can you just kind of provide more color on what new products we are looking at? Thank you.
What specifically new products we're looking at?
Yeah, the capacity expansion which is happening, in what product areas?
No, I wouldn't really want to go into the detail on that.
We'll come back to you on this in possibly a few more months when we complete that or when we finalize those. These are plants. There are certain products which are getting added. There are certain expansions in our existing product line also. So maybe we can have a bit more detailed discussions after some more time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Can you please explain what exactly has impacted our performance at EI Ceramics where we are seeing margins dipping to almost break-even levels right now? So, I mean, apart from these reasons that you have already provided for the standalone business, can you give me a bit more detailed explanation on what is happening and how are we handling that? How can we see some recovery over there?
Yeah. I mean, really, in EI Ceramics, we have now a good expansion in terms of the sales. Without a doubt, we've really been caught out with the scale of the cost increases that we've faced there. And not only the scale, but also the speed at which they've hit the plant. I would say that we're certainly on an even keel from the point of view of understanding where we need to go. And that for the next, I would say for the next couple of quarters, we'll see a gradually improving situation back to where we normally would be in terms of the percentage profitability. Got tremendous support with the customers, and we've got basically a time sink situation just now between cost increases and realization of our price increases in the market.
Got it, sir. And just one follow-up question from the previous participant. Like you have addressed that few of the capacities, like especially Vizag will cater largely to exports. So do we still expect the standard?
No, not Vizag. Vizag wouldn't be export. That would be Kandla.
Okay. Sorry for that. So the proportion of exports from our standalone business will still hover around 55 to 60% going forward, or do we expect to reduce that?
No, I would think it would, the percentages would stay about the same, Kamal, yeah?
Yeah, it would almost remain the same because we are expanding
both of them
in Kandla also.
Right, got it. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Saket Kapoor. Please go ahead, sir.
So regarding the benefit of this R&D plant, sir, I think the 20 crore, if I'm not mistaken, is what we are investing. So if you could give us some understanding, what's the thought process going ahead? How will is this R&D plant going to make a difference to the product profile for the company? And also, sir, for our foreign companies, the other companies in the same geographies, at what time does this trade, sir? We are at, I think, the book value of 259. We are trading at one time. So if you could give us some color, other listed companies in the different geographies, if you have that data with you. So just to have a comparable.
Can we discuss offline on this? Can you give me a call later on? You can take Shrenik along with or Naveenji in SKP, and then we can talk. It's a big question, so we can talk separately.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Raj Shah. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, afternoon, gentlemen. My first question is regarding that I think there has been an event where we have sort of sacked two independent directors. If just the management could throw some light on this thing. And there's one other thing that I'd like to suggest the management, and that is during the calls, you know, a lot of times and when management is saying that we'll just take this question privately, we'll just have an interview conversation. So in enhanced to, you know, in order to enhance the corporate governance, that requires the management to disclose the transcript of all the private calls that are made.
No, I'm just taking the last question first, and on the first question, I'll let Mr. Jim answer to it. Why I said, because there is a time limit to our taking these calls. So I have another, we have set a time limit to this. So because this question was large, some of these questions will take a little longer time. So that is why I said, okay, we can have a discussion separately. I don't have any intent not to tell you or not to tell them. Just because the questions will be then otherwise keep on.
Agreed.
So that's the reason why I'm taking this call.
If you ask a question, what's the benefit of a research center? That's not a question which you can answer in 2 minutes or five minutes.
That's right.
I mean, that's a very, very in-depth question from the point of view of material development, product development, corporate development. There's a lot of things which go into that. So it's a very simple question, but it's not a simple answer.
I understand that. I completely understand there's a time bandwidth with the management, but just my request in order to enhance the proper governance
standards,
it'd be great if you could disclose all the transcripts out there on the public domain.
We'll keep that in mind. Next time, we'll try and keep a longer time schedule for this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Raj, your point is well taken. This is Naveen Agrawal. And as Mr. Sarda said, we'll try to have a longer call in future. If you can just go ahead with your question right now, because there are a few other people.
I asked my questions.
Thanks. James, you're taking his question, please.
What is the question?
The question is, we have recently sat to the independent directors, I think it is over the breach of contracts. So if you could just throw some light on the same, because they own 15% of the company, so that's quite a big overhang on the company stock.
I'm sorry, I really don't understand your question. I can't make you out at all.
Jim, can I come here?
Yeah, what was it? I really don't understand what you're saying.
So,
sorry.
Yeah, so gentlemen, I think Jim, they were asking about the removal of directors. I think we have the EGM notice, which states the details of that, and beyond that, I think we have nothing more to add.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shubham Agarwal from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and good evening, everyone. So my question is regarding the CAPEX that we have outlined. So out of the three CAPEX that we have mentioned, can you help us understand the timeline of each of the projects by when it is coming up? And also, if you can help us understand what is the total potential revenue that we can achieve out of this, and again, the timeline that we'll be able to manage that. Thank you.
So the timeline is already mentioned in the presentation, which we have said. It is FY24 is the timeline. Overall, I think that's what we have already mentioned, FY23 and FY24. They will come in phases. So that is where, so FY24 is the final timeline when we'll complete our total expansion and program for that. And on the top line growth, we normally take a level of about three and a half times of CAPEX. So you can assume that three times or 3.5 times of the CAPEX. It will take anywhere between 3 to 5 years time till we reach level. So maybe you can keep an outer limit of 5 years.
Understood. Thank you. But on the timeline bit, it says FY23 and 24 very broadly. So can we consider this at the outer limit of 24, or do we have some plan coming before that?
No, some it will be, as I said, it will be in phases. Partly will come. Not all the expenses will get completed by FY24. Some of that will happen in FY23. Some of that, but I would say a major part of that will get spilled over to FY24.
Okay, that is helpful, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may press star and one. Participants who wish to ask a question, we press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Raj Shah. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. What would be the capacity utilization for Q1 on the consolidated?
There are various companies at various product levels. So, like some of the product levels where we have capacity utilization could be anywhere between 85-90%. And some will have about 60% or so.
So, is it fair to say we are at 75%? Just a little ballpark number.
Yeah, you can average it out like that, yes.
Oh, okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Atriya Ramkumar from ICOT PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to know, I mean, we have a lot of cash on the balance sheet and, you know, we generate a lot of cash every year. So I just want to know, you know, incrementally, you know, how we are, you know, thinking about utilizing this cash, because I think the CapEx plans we can fund via, you know, the yearly accruals itself. So I just want to know, how are we looking out for any acquisitions, or will our I just wanted your thoughts on this.
Yes.
So I think we have mentioned in our presentation that the expansion which we are doing in India will be funded out of internal accruals, as well as we'll take some loans. And cash we have in our balance sheet and various balance sheets there, so that is there for any kind of opportunity to either acquire something or maybe a major capex somewhere. So that's a cash which we have been there. So as of now, yeah, that is the there in mind. Jim, if you want to add anything on this?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay, so there's nothing on the horizon.
No, we don't have anything to speak about right now.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. I just wanted to understand the current status of the freight cost and raw material cost vis-a-vis the one which is being reported in the 1QFY23 numbers. So have we seen any kind of easing on the freight and the RM cost, post the completion of the quarter? Like currently, what is the state?
It's the increase of freight cost. The increase has stopped, I would say so. There is a nominal reduction which is being seen. Okay. Both in terms of the freight cost as well as some, I would not say all, some raw material, but some raw material have got increased. So this has got impacted further, you know, if you talk of the rupee depreciation, because everything is majorly dollars. So rupee has depreciated by almost like 8%, 8.5% in dollar terms. So that has aggravated more than, you know, any kind of reduction which has happened. So I would say, in nutshell, there has been an increase, and that is one of the reason of the impact in this quarter.
So just to follow up on that, sir, how much is our raw material sourcing from the domestic, sources? How much are we sourcing from
I think in value terms, in the past, it used to be about 50% imports and 50% domestic. So now it could be like a 55-60% is import and 40% domestic, because the rupee has depreciated against dollar.
Okay, can we scale up the domestic sourcing and that way reduce cost? I mean, is that something that is possible?
We are trying. It is not very easy to replace the raw materials so easily. We are trying some alternate sources, but I think it will take some time.
Okay. And lastly, on the demand from Europe, do you see that being disturbed very heavily, like that will continue for 1-2 quarters because of the steel production being hit in Europe? I mean, how is that looking to turn out?
Jim, request you to answer, please.
Yeah, I mean, there has been in certain areas of Europe a slight deterioration in terms of steel making, but again, it's very difficult to really target and understand, is this due to any particular outside factors, or is it just because of the normal close down which occurs in certain parts of Europe due to the vacation period? I would say that most of our operations in Europe have still got very good order books, and we don't see too much of an impact going forward there. From the point of view of our Indian business, supplying into Europe, we have seen, you know, some areas of reduction in terms of takeoff, but not substantial.
Right. Got it. And just one last, how much proportion of our exports is going to Europe? I mean, if you can quantify that, that will be my last question.
So out of our exports from India, it could be about 50% of that into the Europe.
Oh, 50% of the exports are going to Europe,
about,
right?
About overall, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Sada for his closing remarks.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. We hope we have been able to answer most of your queries. I know some queries were unanswered, but we will ensure that we have a longer time duration in the next calls. And thank you, SGA and SKP Securities, for organizing this this call. And we look forward to your participation in the next call. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. On behalf of SKP Securities Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.